Well done. Let's do that one more time. This is the day the Lord has made. Excellent. Our fearless pianist is not feeling well today, so Jean's not here, so that serves as our song, unless you want to sing a cappella. And if there's anyone who wants to lead it, feel free to come on up, and we'll sing a cappella. Okay, never mind. All right, we're going to start off with a couple of announcements. If you didn't hear from your small group leader, if you've forgotten who your small group leader is, if you just walked in the door today because you heard we had coffee and you want a small group, then see those two ladies in the back, Lynn and Julianne, wave your arms around. There you are. See those ladies in the back and they'll get you in a small group. Also, if you need a name tag, I think the list is out front on the table. Please print your name, and we'll get you a name tag. We'll have those in a couple of weeks, but please print your name on those. We also have front sheets and schedules out there if you need those. Okay. Several of us have expressed an interest in the parlor redo and having input. Jim Rumbo, who's the head of the administration committee at this church, has graciously started this project for the parlor in the sanctuary building, and he is now would like to help others to help support in moving this project forward. So if you would like to have input on the sanctuary parlor, please meet in the sanctuary parlor right after Lamplighters gets out at 12 noon. And I think Paige Harris is going to be there. Paige, where are you? Raise your hand. There you go. Paige is going to be there, and you can go, this is your opportunity for input, ladies. So have at it. Last announcement for today. Some of you new ones don't know that Kay Johnson, Kay sitting in the back, raise your hand, Kay. Raise your hand, yes. Kay collects aluminum. Cans, soft drink cans, equal opportunity, plates, foil, beer cans. She doesn't care. She doesn't ask. So if you have a big party, collect those. And she takes them to recycle, and then the money she gets from that aluminum, she puts in an account. She and her husband match it. Her church matches. Various and sundry Bible societies match. And through the years, between what the Lamplighters have given and she's collected otherwise, and the matching is over $30,000 for Bibles. So bring your cans. Bring your cans, and you can leave them just right out there and in a sack or something, and she'll pick them up after Lamplighters is over. Okay, are there any other announcements? I hate to ask that. Okay, because I don't want to take too much time today. Oh, we were going to sing that, but we're not singing that anymore. All right. One of my favorite traditions in my family growing up was the treasure hunt. And what that meant was when my dad's birthday rolled around, whatever present we had managed to buy for him, we didn't give him. We hid it. And he had to hunt for it. Okay? And I thought this was just great fun. As we got older, we started doing it for kind of everybody. But we started with my dad. And, you know, when we were young, it was pretty obvious where we would hide things. But as we grew older, we started drawing maps that he would have to follow, which invariably brought him back to his starting point for the present. And then we graduated to writing clues. So he'd have to figure out the clue and go to that place for the next clue. And then the next place for the next clue and the next place for the next clue. Then it evolved to where we would write the clues in rhyme, poetry. That was even harder, but that was good. And it sort of culminated the year that we had the Easter egg hunt on horseback. But that's a whole different story. It's a great one, though. The point is, I learned a lot from those treasure hunts. I learned about hidden corners in our house that I hadn't explored before. I learned that certain objects had deep meaning in my family because of the family history that was attached to them. You pretty quickly figure out who's got a sense of humor in your family and who doesn't. You learn very quickly who can keep a secret and who just gets so excited to tell they can be counted on to break the secret. So you learn all those things. And one of the other things I learned was that community experience has value, because it was my whole family doing that. It wasn't just one person. And we have lots and lots of fond memories about it. Now, the biggest lesson I learned from that is that it really is fun to hunt. Because no matter what the treasure is, when you discover it, it's very worthwhile. So once you keep that in mind, let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to be here today. How grateful we are that you have woven a story that is glorious, and that you have woven us into your story. Father, open our hearts and our minds and our ears that we may encounter you, the pearl without price, in our treasure hunt this year through Exodus. As we go forth into small groups, Lord, I pray your spirit will fill those rooms, give each woman a heart for all the others in her small group, and begin weaving them together today so that they will have the community experience that points to you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I wanted to share about my family's treasure hunting experience, because that's actually what we are invited on this year as we go through Exodus. And I'm not going to take too much time, but I do want to lay something out in front of you that I promise you is going to be very confusing this morning. But it will become clearer as we go along. So I want to start by asking you a question. Ask yourself this: am I exactly where I want to be in life today? And if you are exactly where you want to be in life today, this study is probably not going to mean much to you. But if you've ever asked yourself the question, is this all there is? If you've ever felt kind of a holy restlessness and you hadn't been able to figure out what that was all about, if you've ever had a desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ on a more deeper and intimate level, then this is going to be the study for you. If you are like me, you are so busy living your life that you don't take time to reflect on the life you're living. And this study this year is an invitation to do exactly that, to reflect on the life we've been living. And it can be transformational for us if we yield ourselves to the Spirit. You guys all know the importance of story. You've experienced that in your small groups. We've been telling them for the last several years, and we will continue doing that. Story grabs us. We resonate with story because we are made in the image of God, and He is the master storyteller. And you remember stories. When you're ladies in your small group, your friends, and they tell you a story, those are the things you remember. You don't remember what's said from up here. You remember the stories. Those stories weave us together. And so we're going to take a look at them in a little bit different way. Has anybody ever kept a journal? Raise your hand. Okay, keep them up. A diary? A prayer list? Okay, almost everybody has kept one of those. We're going to hand you a tool this year that is just like a journal or a diary or a prayer list, except that it's a little bit different, of course. It's a map of your life. It's a different way of understanding our stories and how God's worked in our lives. It's a very visual way. It's a visual tool that you will use to invite God into the process of kind of reviewing your past, evaluating your present, and showing you a trajectory for the future. Now, this sounds complicated. It really isn't once you start doing it. One of the values of a map, besides the fact it gives you a different perspective, is that no one else can read it but you. You can leave it out, as I have done, on the dining room table and just keep adding to things as you think about it, which is, as I shared with the leaders earlier, a marvelous way to frustrate my husband, because every time he goes by, he goes, "Well, I don't understand this map." And I'm like, "That's the point." It's for you. It's a visual representation to you, but it really won't mean anything to anybody else. So you don't have to close up your journal and ask your best friends to burn them when you die before anybody gets a hold of them. So like any map, like this one, we all know kind of the basic outline of our lives, right? That's the basic outline. And then we have this map. You can see Austin and Round Rock and Lakeway, and there's a little bit of relief there, and you see the Highland Lakes. Those are the ground level view. Those are the stories that you've been telling that kind of put you in a place on a map and they give some relief to your story. Okay? But when we take time to reflect on our lives as a whole, this is what we get. The whole picture. That's a topo map. It has the mountains on it and the valleys and the rivers and cities and major roads and the coastline and all that. It pops. It's a fuller picture of what our lives will look like, right? We begin to look and see how God's worked in the past, how he's currently working, all the number of do-overs he's given us, where his grace has abounded. It will have things on there that you don't typically think of as spiritual. And I will tell you now, those non-spiritual events and people are probably the most important things on your map. So I'm going to encourage you to create a map as we go through Exodus. Now, each of your leaders is doing this so they can help you. I'm doing it. I'm a little bit ahead of you guys because I started in the summer with this map. If we do it and do it well, at the end of the year, what you're going to have is a visual representation of your spiritual autobiography. It'll be like writing a book, only better. All it takes is a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen. And for those of you who are creative and artistic, yes, feel free to use paints and watercolors and all of that. You know, nobody's going to judge me for drawing stick figures, and we'll applaud your efforts if you're very artistic. We have pieces of paper in the back if you want to. You're going to start today with a point on your map. I know your leader sent out a question, which is to imagine, remember your first memory, your very first memory, or the room that you have the best associations with in the house that you grew up. Now, we say that question because y'all are going to talk about it in your small groups today to learn about each other. That's going to be your first point on the map. I realize in asking that question that some of us did not have happy memories. And that's okay. That's the point on the map that's very, very, very important for you. Okay? As we go through Genesis, almost every lesson is going to have another point on the map that you can add. Something in the text that resonates with your own story. For example, a time when God kind of extricated you from an impossible situation. I was asking a friend of mine that, and she said, oh, yeah, he broke my first engagement for me. Or a time when God very clearly told you what he wanted you to do, and you went, seriously? Can't you send somebody else? Which is what Moses did. You kind of get the picture. Those are all going to be points on your map. It sounds daunting, but it's not really. Let me show you mine. Okay. We can't see that very well. That's okay. I've got it up here if you actually want to look at it in detail. I started on the lower left corner with my mother's kitchen, which no one would ever be able to tell that was my mother's kitchen, including my mother. But that's just the way I drew. I'm not very artistic, okay? But I started there, and then there were some significant things in my childhood that I put. And then you see those arrows. One goes to the left, one goes to the right. You know, those are significant transition points in my life. And I've just put something that symbolizes that right there so I can remember what that is. Now, right now, I want to just let you all off the hook. Nobody is still in kindergarten, right? We're all out of kindergarten. This is going to make some of you very uncomfortable. There are no rules with this map. There are no rules. You can color outside the lines all you want to. You can do this whatever way you want to. You can start in the middle and make a spiral out. You can do it like an EKG chart. You can do it like that. You can do it right to left. You can do it top to bottom. You can do it any way you want to. Feel, as one of our leaders said, feel free. Feel free to do it. no two maps are going to look alike because none of us are alike. We're all unique, all right? You're going to add to the maps through the year. They're going to get messy. You're going to erase. You're going to move some points. You're going to decide some other points weren't important, and you're going to take them off altogether. This is not going to be neat. It's not going to be linear, and it's not going to be chronological. Now, all of you type A left brain engineer thinkers are squirming right now, going, I can't do that. Well, you know what? Yes, you can, because the Holy Spirit is the teacher, and the Holy Spirit is infinitely creative. And if I can put a stick figure on a piece of paper, anybody can. Okay, I just said it's not going to be chronological. When I started doing this map, I sort of got lost in it. And what I realized was I was trying to put some things some places, and the Spirit would move them over here, and I was moving things around, and I thought, you know, this is confusing to me. What I'm going to do is a timeline at the top of the page. So that's what I did. I drew a line, and on top of, you know, every decade of my life, with some room at the end, hopefully, and above the line, I wrote events that were happening in the nation or the world that I remembered. Now, don't cheat. There's not a test as to who has the most. Don't go to Google and figure out the headlines for a given year. That's not it. Just remember what you remember. And those are significant events in your life that have had an impact. I'll explain that in a minute. Below the line, do the same thing for your personal life. Just the major events that you remember each decade. There may be one, there may be two, there may be more than that, whatever. What I realized when I did that was how much the culture, what was going on in the world around me, was affecting me even when I was not aware of it. So it's always good to kind of have that little timeline, not that it has to be chronological, but just events that affected the world around you because it affected you, guaranteed. Okay. Eventually, this map is going to reveal trends in your life. It's going to give you insights. It's going to raise questions for you. But each point is going to represent a little story, like the ones you would tell in your small group, the little story, which is part of the bigger story, which is part of God's story. And that's what you're going to begin to see. You're going to begin to see that other map, that map. You're going to begin to see your life in full relief. Now, I've got one more. See that map right there? Okay. Now, you can see I added a few things. When I made this slide on Monday, I didn't have anything around that big X. But yesterday, I went back and I put little angels around that big X because that big X represents a really, 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 really bad decision I made. The angels, and you can see the line interrupted, represent the fact that God, in His grace and mercy, did not make me walk the consequences of that choice. And He changed my trajectory. I have another red X on there that He didn't save me from the consequences of that choice. And yet His grace and mercy was apparent too. And I didn't really begin to see that until I started drawing on the map. So those are the kinds of things you'll begin to notice how God is in every aspect of your life, not just the parts of it that you think are spiritual. So if you're totally confused, that's okay. Just go to your small group and get to know everybody. That's what your job for today is. And we will point out points on the map for you much later in as we go along in the study. We're going to pray, and then we're going to release by groups. Is that right? Okay, and here's a map up here, and I would like to point out that in room 122, Cherry Rayleigh is not leading with somebody named Brown. We don't know who that is. That's Deb Reber in 122, so don't be confused by that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that You have the whole world in Your hands. You have us in Your hands. You have this study in Your hands. You have our whole lives in Your hands. You have all of our stories. You are the Lord of all. Help us to lean into that, Lord, as we discover You through our stories and how you have been active and working in our lives from the very, very, very beginning. We ask this, that you will get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we have, let's just go with Judy Embry. Where are you, Judy?